In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church is the Sunday of the Canaanite woman. Today in the Gospel, we read about the persistence of a woman before the face of God. Today's Gospel gives us an insight into what pure faith looks like, and also an insight into Christ and how he interacts with us. In most of our minds, especially today, we often have an image of Jesus as a loving teacher who always speaks the sweetest things to all those who approach him. Jesus is nice. We think he always is saying the right thing. What we actually mean by that is that he's always saying the thing that we think it's appropriate for him to say. And yet today, with the Canaanite woman, Jesus says some things that most of us would probably be embarrassed about him saying if he were alive with us today and we were journeying with him on our way through Tyre and Sidon. Today, Jesus calls a woman who asks to have mercy upon her, he calls her a dog. Not only that, but this woman needs help. She has a daughter who is severely demon-possessed, in her own words. A daughter who could surely use the help of this man who has just fed over 5,000 men, women, and children from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He's a miracle worker, and miracle workers certainly help those in need. And yet, Christ is not merely a healer, as some have come to think. As the Son of God, he is also about greater things. He's about his Father's business, as he tells Mary and Joseph when they find him in the temple. And his Father's business is first what Jesus tells to the Canaanite woman today. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that is a hard saying. And for some of us who are less familiar with certain parts of the Bible, it may be a very strange thing to hear. Didn't Jesus Christ come to save all of us? Isn't there neither Jew nor Gentile among us in Jesus Christ anymore, as St. Paul says? These are all natural questions. What we must first realize is that the will of God first was to the house of Israel, that the house of Israel would receive the ministry of Christ, then the Gentiles, then the nations. The reasons for this are manifold, but one of the greatest is to give Israel no excuse for the subsequent mission to the Gentiles. If the Messiah were to go to other nations first, perhaps the Jews would use this as an excuse for their rejection of him. Moreover, it was Israel too, the chosen people of God, who had been corrupted. This is why he calls them lost sheep, because of their falling away from the commandments of God. Indeed, we do know that Christ was coming to all nations after his crucifixion and his resurrection, telling his disciples to go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But he first acknowledges the primacy of Israel as God's chosen people, and fulfills the prophecy of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, all of which tell of a shepherd who will lead the lost sheep of Israel, who have been led astray by false shepherds, back into the fold of their Father. So Christ first comes to Israel because they were expecting this shepherd. They were looking for this shepherd. And today, in the midst of this mission, the Canaanite woman seems to throw a wrench into this whole divine plan, or so we may think. The Canaanite woman begs for mercy upon her own self and her daughter, and it seems like Christ is content to ignore her. He answered her not a word, as Matthew tells us. And what's worse, Jesus' own disciples urge Christ to send her away. Here's another important point, though, that the disciples seem to have more compassion than Christ, because they aren't asking Jesus to just shoo her away, but for Christ to work a miracle so that she will leave them alone. And we know this because of Christ's response to the disciples. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Christ rebukes the disciples in a way. The disciples want her healed and gone, and Christ refuses. Now many of us think that Christ is being unnecessarily harsh. And from a first reading, this certainly appears to be the case. But remember, Christ knows this woman's heart already. Everything he says for a reason, so his harshness has a purpose. And his purpose here, according to St. John Chrysostom, is to show forth the great virtue hidden within the Canaanite woman like a treasure. If perhaps Christ had healed the woman without another thought, without hesitation, the disciples, as well as the woman herself, as well as all of us here today, would never know the true value of persistence, would never know the value of faith at all. And so Christ pushes back against this woman to reveal this treasure of her persistence and her humility. And the Canaanite woman continues to run after Christ and his disciples, falling down at the feet of Christ and begging him, "Lord, help me." And the response from Christ is deliberately shocking. "It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs." Some translations say little dogs. And the word here is interesting because it's kinaris, kinaris. And this is a totally different word than the word for dog that is often used as a major insult in ancient times and even today, which is more akin to like a wild dog. But kinaris, these dogs were sometimes allowed in the household of their master. They were far more docile than the wild dogs that roamed the countryside. So Christ is distinguishing between the Canaanite woman and the Jews, calling her not just a wild dog or an animal like St. Paul does in his epistles or in Revelation, for example, but he calls her a little dog, almost like a house dog. And he calls the Jews children. And he isn't using the nicest of terms, but he also softens the blow with this word compared to what he could have said. And this is important because the Canaanites and the Jews have historically not been on good terms, right? In Genesis, this area in which Christ and him and his disciples find themselves, Tyre and Sidon, was historically the land of Canaan, the great ancestor of many of the enemies of Israel, chief among them the Canaanites, right, who dwelled in the Holy Land before being conquered by the Jews. So the Canaanites, according to the Jews, were some of the worst idolaters. In ancient times, they were constantly at war with the Jews. And as the wisdom of Solomon testifies in, I believe, chapter 12, the Canaanites were not just pagans, not just idolaters, but sorcerers who sacrificed their children to their gods. This was their historical background. They were, in a sense, antithetical to everything Israel stood for. Now put ourselves in the Canaanite woman's place. Imagine a well-known person from a historically enemy tribe now saying such a thing to us, calling us a little dog. What would our response be? Perhaps offense? And in the eyes of the world, this would have possibly been justified. And yet the Canaanite woman acknowledges the reality of Christ's words. She acknowledges him as the Son of David. She gives him this messianic title. What's more, she acknowledges that he has spoken in truth, that Christ has come first to the Jew, and that technically he is justified in his dismissal of her. Think about this. Christ has given her a very hard truth, that his mission before his crucifixion is to the Jews, and she acknowledges this. She affirms this reality, and yet in the face of this truth, she persists. She acknowledges her place as secondary to the place of the Jews in the mission of the Messiah during his life on earth. She even heightens the status of the Jews. She doesn't call them children like Jesus does in this little parable, but she calls them masters. "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table," is her reply. This is what Christ wished to reveal in the Canaanite woman to both his disciples and to us. Total faith, total trust, total persistence, even in the face of a hard truth. The Canaanite woman's story is one of total abasement, total humility in the face of this hard truth. And yet it is this humility that allows for her and her daughter's healing. How else would she have persisted in her faith in the face of such a reality? If she were prideful, she most likely would have left Christ after his first response was that of silence. If she were easily offended or overly sensitive, she might have perhaps quit over despondency. But despite whatever shortcomings she had, she first and foremost had a faith grounded in humility. She acknowledged her place as a Canaanite. She acknowledged Christ's primacy of the Jews. And this, as St. John Chrysostom tells us, this is what makes her a child at God's table. This is what transforms her from what she was perceived as from the Jewish perspective and reveals the true reality hidden in her heart. The faith and persistence of the Canaanite woman is at the very heart of our faith. All of us, as Gentiles, are the wild olive shoot grafted in among the others, and now sharing in the richness of the olive tree, as St. Paul says in Romans. In addition, all of us Christians have to acknowledge the painful reality and truth of our sin, and yet persist in our faith. Remember the final communion prayer we say together before we partake of the Eucharist. I believe, O Lord, and I confess that thou art truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, who didst come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, of whom I am first. We say, I am the first among sinners. This is the beauty of simple, humble faith. It is persistent. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, Christ tells us in Mark. As we enter the pre-Lenten Triodion period, the period of 3 weeks before the beginning of Great Lent, let us remember the faith of the Canaanite woman. Let us remember her dogged persistence and humility in the face of a harsh reality. When we puff ourselves up, we make our Christian lives so much harder than they need to be. May we pray for humility, and may we pray for faith, so that we may navigate the great and holy fast in all humility and love, so that Christ may say to us, like the Canaanite woman, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.